are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
So without further ado, I'm going to welcome Jake and Du to the stage. Let's give him a hand.
Did you notice that my eyes were closing that photo? I don't like that photo. Anyways. So what did God speak to me during the worship? He said that the very fact that I'm speaking here right now is a testimony of his everlasting faithfulness and his ever-sufficient grace. So praise the Lord. Guys, looking back on my relatively short journey with Christ, God has taught me a great deal of lessons through his word, his faithfulness, his grace. And tonight I can only give you just a glimpse of into one of God's most recent revelation to me and how it profoundly impacted my faith and my emotion and my attitude towards him. So a few of you may already know that I've had a very challenging year in 2018, emotionally in particular. It was a period of spiritual struggle in finding purpose, seeking breakthrough, and wondering what God had in store for my life. It wasn't easy. And even though I had consistently attended church and involved with youth, I often felt an emotional disconnection from the church and its people and began to lose a sense of peace and purpose in many areas of my life, such as work. While I waited for God to bring those breakthroughs that I had hoped for, I often found myself, you know, in a state of bitterness and resentment. I found that even though I was willing to trust God and persevere, it has somehow become a burden to me. And the more I tried to put my trust in God, the heavier it felt. So here's the context. That's my testimony. So the first thing I want to point out to that is that God has been so patient with me during that time, and he has never allowed me to drift too far away from him. And he has taken his time to teach me some of the things I'm about to share. And I truly believe that I would not have learned those things had I was spared of going through all that experience that I've just mentioned. So I think looking back now on last year and some of this year, 2019, I can see clearly that one of the reasons for my spiritual heaviness and emotional turmoil, if you will call it, is that even though I have been patient in waiting for God, my attitude and focus was off the mark. And my ultimate security was not completely in the sovereign will of God, but instead I was trying to seek God on my own terms. And in other words, I had treasured God's gift and blessing, or at least my version of it, more than I have treasured God himself. And as a result, my joy in God was wavering, and it was circumstantial. So Nick spoke of treasuring God last week, and funny enough, that has been the key word while I was preparing for this message over the past few weeks. And this is what I got when I contemplated on what it means to treasure Jesus. So the first is this. Your treasure is what is most valuable to you. It is of great worth. It is worth of your time, your attention, your love. You think of every morning when you wake up, you keep going back to it. It is something that's so worth having that everything else becomes second priorities. If God is a treasure, then everything you have gained in this world becomes dull in the light of God's worthiness. Paul said in Philippians that he considers everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, so that he may gain Christ. But I think underneath that, and this is what really touched me, is that your treasure is simply what makes you the most happy. And it is what gives you the supreme joy and delight. And I'll go to Matthew 13:44, when it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. And when a man found it, and in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought the land." So these words, so I think I just lost a little bit there. But anyway, so the three words that I want to point out is in his joy. The man saw everything and he put everything had as his priority, at his second priority. But most importantly is that the scripture didn't say that he did that out of his own willpower or the sense of duty or obligation, but out of joy. So we see that treasuring God is to have the supreme joy in the person of God. And to me, perhaps the biggest outworking of joy in my life is the sense of satisfaction, which I would argue is a plumb line from which we can determine whether our treasure is Jesus or not. If I felt more satisfied in my possessions than in God, then God is not my treasure and I dishonor him. If I'm more satisfied in my career or even act of serving in the church for the sake of to make myself look good, then he is not my treasure. And you'll be familiar with this idea if you listen to John Piper. And he says, the more you're satisfied in something, the more it is glorified. And God is, using his word, the most glorified in you or me when I am the most satisfied in him. So, come on, paper. There you go. I think everyone, I want to be happy in life. I think we all do. It's the honest truth. And, I don't think that the desire of seeking joy and happiness is necessarily merely a worldly idea, because in fact the pursuit of pleasure can be seen all over the Bible, such as Psalm 16, when it says, you make known to me the path of life and you will fill me with joy in your presence, the eternal pleasure at your right hand. So for me, I think the key lesson for me is that to be careful to not seek happiness and joy in the wrong place, namely in the created things rather than the creator, as it has been in my case over the last years. And one of the dangerous outworking of that is that, I sometimes do not view God as precious, but merely as useful to use God as a means to another end, a means to fulfill those same unchanged desires before I was born again. So thank goodness that he made aware of me of that. So, that was how God moved in my life, by helping me to be more aware of myself, my emotion, my attitude, and his presence, which led to the constant joy and my glad dependence on Jesus Christ himself. And I can say to God, and perhaps more importantly to myself, that sometimes even though I don't understand or enjoy my current situation, but I understand why I can trust you, therefore I will trust you by not just believing, but by treasuring you, to see you, the person of God, the person of Jesus, as my most prized possession. And I just want to finish by quoting from the song, Nothing Else, and I had no idea the worship team was doing this song tonight. And the lyric says, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything you can do, I just want you. Thanks.
Hey everyone. So, it's kind of similar to what Jacob was saying, but as I was thinking and praying about what I was going to say tonight, there was one thing that really kept coming up a lot. And so if we're going to kind of go with the Jesus is theme of this year, maybe it can go up in one of the spaces. I'm going to say that Jesus is a designer, or really Jesus is the ultimate designer. I have to warn you, I'm a graphic designer, so I apologize in advance. Yeah! there's so many facets to designing. Like, you could talk for ages. We could get all Francis Chan and get so excited about how amazing God is and the artistry of him. And be like, leave this place and be like, yeah, God creates some pretty amazing things, which, of course, he does. And, of course, that's part of design. But the part that I want to talk about is how design is purposeful. In design, or at least the perfect design world, every choice is defined and it is justified and deliberate. And it's definitely the way for Jesus. So a quick crash course on me to start. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church growing up as a kid. I also went to a Christian primary school, but somewhere along the way, we stopped going to church on a Sunday. So by the time I went into high school, I was very much a lukewarm Christian. Like, I knew God was up there. I knew that Jesus came to save, but I didn't really do anything about it. I didn't really live that way. So then it wasn't until Linda came up to me in, I think it was year nine, she invited me to her church summer camp. And so I was kind of like, okay, sure. I wasn't really convinced. And long story short, I'm still here and I'm in kids and young adults. So everything's gone pretty well. In between all of that, quite a lot has happened, obviously. And I've learned that God's plan for our lives, it's all so perfectly designed. We're created the way we are, created for a reason, and everything is in its place for that purpose. So the first thing I wanted to share was in Year 10. Starting Year 10, I got into a relationship that I used to always say that I regretted, and it was a really bad move on my part. But looking back, I can't say that anymore. I realised that God taught me way too much through that relationship that I can't regret it anymore. I actually had to stand firm for what I believed in, my standards and all of those things, and actually define them for the first time. And they really solidified them in my mind. And God taught me like what I want in a future relationship and what I really don't want. And so now I know that God has placed him in my life, and he had that with a design and with a purpose. And so I really can't regret what he did, that it happened because of what he did through it. Everything fits so perfectly in its time. I can look back and I can see that, oh yeah, that happened then, so that I knew this and I was ready for that to happen. And if there's anything that convinces me of how amazing God is at being a designer, is how complex everything is and how it all fits together so perfectly. Even the things that are so random are like that for a reason. If there's one thing I've learned working in design, especially for the last little while, the randomly scattered things like the stars you see on your carrels, they're not random. They are very carefully placed where they are. They're moved because someone thought that this one was slightly too close to that. So God is like that too. Like randomly bumping into someone maybe isn't so random. There's probably a reason behind it that we can't see and we may never see it. So then we come to the second thing I wanted to share, which was during Year 12. This was a pretty difficult year for us. On top of VCE, I was doing a Cert 4 in design, and my brother got into a pretty toxic relationship with someone from another religion that has a very bad and a very dangerous reputation. It caused a lot of trouble in our home. He was no longer the type of person that we knew him to be, and it became quite hard for us all. Got to the point where my parents were really struggling, and I became the peacekeeper, and they described me as their rock, which it's not a pleasant time to see your parents struggling, the strongest people you know. But honestly, no matter how hard it was going through it, no matter how horrible it was all part of the plan, and there was good in that. Like, I can see that now. I just was blinded to it during it. I had to wait till I got through it and I could see it from the other side. I can honestly say that I've never grown so much in my relationship with God than in that one time. Suddenly, spiritual warfare was a thing in our family. I could talk to my parents about the Bible, about Jesus, about what I was feeling in my faith. And my faith is so much stronger now than what it was otherwise. As Jacob said, we had to go through that so that we actually learnt it. There's verses in James 1, 2 and 1 Peter, verse 1, 6 to 7. They both talk about rejoicing when you face trials because there's going to be good that comes out of them. One of them says that trials produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And I know that God might not have brought the situation about, but he allowed it to happen because he knew that there was going to be something far greater come out of it than what we actually went through. There's been so many other times where it's just been a matter of trusting his timing and constantly reminding myself that he can see the whole design and we can only see a tiny little bit of it. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that he's made everything beautiful in its time. And a little bit later, it says that we cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We may not understand his design because we're human. He's the ultimate, the divine designer. His designs are way beyond our comprehension, but we know that it will be made beautiful in its time. There's a song from Elevation Worship that I heard today. It's called Sea of Victory. And in the bridge it says, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You know that we will see the victory. I finally understood the whole freedom thing of Christianity this year when it finally sunk in that this is all planned. Like, it doesn't matter what I do. Even when I stuff up, I'm not powerful enough to completely stuff up God's design. He can put me back onto track and fix everything so that it still works out how he's planned it. I don't have to worry. I've got the freedom of not worrying about how I'm going to sort this thing out because God's already sorted it out for me. Like earlier this year, I was trying to find a placement for uni. I saw everyone else getting job interviews and job offers, and I hadn't even heard back from any of the studios that I applied for. But I was getting quite stressed about it, as some of you do know. But in the back of my mind, God kept telling me, it's like, where you end up is where I want you to be. And because I didn't get the first round of applications, I didn't even hear back from them, it meant I was able to go to Southern Cross Kids Camp, and I was able to help God's kids, and it was a pretty amazing experience, even if it was a bit hard. Then I came back to work where I am now, and honestly, I can't have asked for a better job. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I love in Mere Christianity. It says, I'm sure that God keeps no one waiting unless he sees it, that it's good for him to wait. In the time of your placement, he worked everything out way before I even sent in those applications, so that because he saw that it was so much better for me to wait in the long run, for not just for me, but for the kids, for everyone else. Of course, there's things in my life that I still don't know what the purpose is, and perhaps I may never know what it is. But I know that what I went through, there was a reason that I went through it. Like when I was 8, I was diagnosed with scoliosis. I wore a back brace for 5 years. I have no idea why. Sure, it hurt. It's not always pleasant. But I know that there's a reason for it, whether that's a reason for me or it's a reason for someone else. There's a lot that's happened in my life, and God has done so much more than what I've said. And if we all went through our whole testimony, we'd be here all night. But basically, it's all what Chris was saying this morning, that it's trusting Jesus when you're out in the water and that his timing is there. He sent those disciples out knowing what was coming and what would happen. He turned a storm into something so much more beautiful because he had designed it to be that way. I know that God isn't letting you go through this because he wants to hurt you. He's letting it happen because he's going to make it beautiful in its time and good will come out of it. Yeah.
Evening church. Go designers, yeah! I'm a designer, so. Today I want to talk about God's perfect timing, and I guess it aligns with Jacob, and yeah, it just aligns with all of what we're talking about today, so that's awesome. So I want to talk about how I came to meet Christy at the perfect moment of my life. I want to backtrack a couple of months prior before meeting her. I had just moved to Vancouver during summertime, July, to experience and explore the city. Finding accommodation was challenging because of the high renting expenses. I was on a super tight budget and I wanted to save up for my next adventure, volunteering for Myanmar. So I decided to try another method of accommodation, van dwelling. Living in a van, I was so excited yet nervous at the same time. I was able to adapt, change quickly, and create a structured routine for my activities. I really loved it, but we'll discuss that later on. I quickly connected to C3 Church of Vancouver for community and fellowship. At this point in time, I was a Catholic seeking for a deeper relationship and presence of God. C3 Church was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it really felt something unique. However, the first couple of weeks I sat back, listening and observing the service as I was unsure of how much I wanted to open up to everyone. But the people were so welcoming, open and honest. I do remember seeing Christy on the worship team occasionally. She sang beautiful and she looked very cute. The moment of meeting her was not there yet. My time was not for her, it was for God. I struggled to understand the service because I was not too familiar with the scriptures or stories, and I haven't touched the Bible since studying it back in high school. I wanted to read more of the Bible, but didn't know where to start. the Old Testament, New Testament, the Gospels, nor did I even have a Bible to begin with. But then the church organized a short Bible college, the Old Testament. It was the perfect timing. I wanted to start, so God showed me to start at the beginning. I was hesitant though. It costed $90 to register, and I was on a really, really tight budget. And I never participated in a Bible college before. Little did I know, Christy signed up for that study. Oh man, I did not know that. So I asked the study instructor to have a free trial before I started to pay. I even asked if I needed a Bible to even study. So I went, and I liked it. I liked the class. I was fascinated, and I wanted to learn more. At the end of the class, the instructor offered me to study for free because someone who registered could no longer come anymore. I was shocked and surprised. The ways of God. It was the perfect timing. And even better, he gave me a Bible. The study was awesome. I loved it. It was amazing to read, study, share all the stories amongst each other. Though, as the first month passed, I had not met Christy yet. And the class was only 6 people, 7 at max. Also at the beginning of September, the church held a baptism service, which was the perfect timing for me as I felt my spirit seeking more of God. I was baptized at a beach, and funny enough, Christy was there. But didn't watch me get baptized because she offered to stay back and look after everyone's belonging as we headed down the beach from the picnic ground. The timing to meet Christy was yet to come. After being baptized, my knowledge and love grew exponentially. I was learning and enjoying my time at church, life groups, and understanding more of God. I was so much more open, connecting, and confident. I was filled quick and fast with the Holy Spirit. But then I had my test of faith shortly after being baptized, just as Jesus went through his 3 temptations after being baptized. I had no idea this would happen to me. Within 1 week, I had lost my road bike. It was stolen one night. My van broken into the next night. And then someone trying to break in my van while I was sleeping the following couple of days. It was one of the most scariest and loneliest times of my life. But I made it by the grace, protection, and faith of God. I have to admit, it was needed for me to build my trust, focus, and continue my faith and belief in God. A path that I needed to take to lead me closer to God. And now 2 months into the study Bible, I had not even said hello to Christy. Timing was still not there yet. God was preparing me and developing me to be the right person for that moment. And that moment came on Saturday, the 28th of October, at a men's breakfast in a bar that Christy worked at and volunteered to serve breakfast. That's right, at a men's breakfast in a bar. How perfect is that? The day after, we had a masterclass on marriage and relationships. Christy and I were sitting next to each other during that class. We had no idea that our paths would be together from then on. To be honest, I didn't even want to get married or have a relationship at that time. I already planned out my next adventure to explore more of the world, to continue to be a free man. I wanted to get married around 30 years of age. I made plans. However, all that can change when God gives you his path. A path that may not align with yours and wasn't how you want it to be. But you know it is for his purpose and for his glory. My plans could have been amazing, but it wouldn't be godly without Christy in my life. And so, had I tried to meet Christy prior to those events and all those touch points, I think I would have fumbled, stumbled, and I wouldn't be the right person God prepared me to be. Me meeting God was always the perfect timing. It felt like I needed to meet God first before I can meet Christy. To sum everything up, I have this message from Isaiah 43:19. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create the rivers in the dry wasteland. And that is how I came to meet Christy at the perfect moment of my life and a wonderful miracle of God's grace. Thank you for listening.
That's my husband. Yahoo. God did really well for me. So my name is Christy, or Christmas, as some of you call me. I was a pretty large baby, a large embryo, so I bypassed the December due date. My mom's tiny, by the way, and I was born in January. And my mom loved the name Christmas still, so it's still my name. I'm Canadian, not American, but God bless Mr. Trump and Mr. Trudeau. I'm born in Vancouver. My mom is Japanese, and my dad is Scottish and Japanese. I grew up knowing, actually, about Jesus, even though my mom was Buddhist, and my dad was somewhat adopted and raised by a bishop on the island of the U.S. military base in Japan, in the island of Okinawa. He was open to all religions and knowledge. We had a wooden cross with Jesus hanging when we were little, so then that my mom would actually leave food as an offering in front of that cross. But she was raised Buddhist, so that was remarkable now that I think about it. And we grew up respecting all religions and all gods. I met Jesus when I was in high school, when I was 15, through some Christian friends. And even though I believed and I was baptized, my knowledge of grace was so limited and so impoverished. I was 25 when I really understood grace and the sacrifice of Jesus. I was in Japan teaching English as my first professional job out of university, and my family life was really tumultuous as my dad was diagnosed with cancer for all through 6 years of my university career, and my parents also declared bankruptcy at this time. During this time, I was a Christian, but I was desperate. Desperate to leave university, desperate to earn a living, because I was so pressured and pressed by my parents to earn a decent income, because there were some real needs. So I took the first decently paid work that was offered, which was teaching English in Japan, out of desperation, not because I consulted with God. So Christianity 101 is don't follow the money, and we don't have to be that desperate. I was a Christian, but didn't live in the fullness of depending on God. I had burdens stacked on my shoulders every day for years, and I just didn't know how to simply release it to God. But thank goodness that God's the one who always writes all of our stories. My life in Japan started off with everything of chaos, bad choices, and massive depression. The work of teaching was chaotic. My family life was draining, even when they were across the ocean back in Canada, as they required so much all the time. I felt completely hollow and lived without vision. I didn't have vision for the rest of my life. I was completely empty, and I couldn't even get out of bed to go to work sometimes. 2011 was the year that the biggest earthquake in Japan hit the millennium, and it happened at a scale on the Richter of 9.1, and it instantly flooded the northern region with a wave of tsunamis that wiped out towns in seconds and then caused the nuclear leakage at the Fukushima power plant. I was 5 hours away, but all of Japan was affected. And there's nothing quite like a natural disaster to see how much the world is a temporary place. Foreigners were cutting their contracts to leave left and right, and there was so much fear, and there was so much devastation, and the drinking water could be contaminated by the nuclear chemicals, so all of Japan would be devastated if the water was poisoned. I was already in a personally tough place, and I couldn't handle an epic natural disaster at the same time. But God always knows how much capacity we have in every single season. Christians were the first people to respond and put themselves up for cleanup and host refugees from their regions. Through prayers, fundraising, connecting with others, I slowly understood how much love God has and that His grace was all that anybody ever needs. Everything will follow the love of God and Jesus on the cross. Those difficult years prepped me for my whole life, and I started living a grace-filled life and not workspace. I began to see a life that was beyond my circumstances and began to look up, not down. 2 Peter 3:15, but grow in grace, undeserved favor, spiritual strength. So grace is undeserved favor and spiritual strength and recognition and knowledge and understanding of a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and the day of the eternity. Amen. So be it. So I wouldn't have been able to marry and move countries within 7 months last year if God hadn't shown me how large His grace is before. And now I just get to tell you all about His goodness tonight. So here's to God for being the author of all of our stories. To His glory. Amen, guys.
So good. So good. Wow, awesome. So good. So we had Jesus is my treasure. Jesus is the ultimate designer. Jesus is my matchmaker. And Christy, I don't know, Jesus is my burden lifter. Jesus is my author. Just so much. So much in there. God is good, yeah? So good. Well, look, I don't want to keep you guys any longer, but I do just want to say a quick thank you to all the young adult leaders. If you could just stand up right now, wherever you are, young adult leaders, stand up, stand up. And if you've helped, yeah, give them a hand, give them a hand. And if you've helped volunteer at one of our live nights or barbecue or anything at camp or whatever, we just want to say thank you so, so much for being a part of this ministry and serving God in the way that you do. So thank you so much to all our volunteers as well. I just want to say thanks to Chris Blacker. I know I'll make fun of you, but I hope you don't get too offended. I hope, yeah. You're better than that, right? Yeah. You're more than just a 51-year-old. But just thank you so much to Chris. Sorry? Just thank you to Chris for all you've done in young adults and for how you continue to sow into this ministry with all your wisdom and assistance. We love it. So thanks, Chris. Okay.
I was actually going to do this later, but I just felt like I should do it now. We, as our young adults, really want to honour you, Julia, and honour what you've done this year. So we did a little bit of a love offering. And we got you a gift, and I really know how much you love, hate coffee. Somehow we still manage to be friends, but I really love coffee, and Julia really hates it. So we thought we'd get you coffee. No. There is a different gift inside the coffee bag. It is up to you. We just really wanted to make you feel appreciated and just let you know that we, as a young adult community, really value you and the way that you lead us. So thank you.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday for the kids' domain presentation. And no night service next week. Thank you.